All right, as previously stated, we are so happy to have Sister Roseberry, who's going to be sharing some great things with us this morning. We want to say that we love and appreciate the Roseberry family, Brother Roseberry, Sister Roseberry, and their children. We're not children, they're young people now, but they're all great. They're hardworking, they're dedicated, and they all have a heart for God. So with that said, I'm going to go ahead and hand it over to Sister Roseberry. Go right ahead, Sister Roseberry.
Thank you, Brother Vic, for allowing me again to speak to the church today. I just want to say that these devotions have really been really good. These devotions, Bible studies, or testimonies, they've really inspired me, and I'm pretty sure they inspired a lot of other people, and I'm thankful for what you do, and you know the work you do for the church, and just to let you know that it really does help. It helps a lot of us. So I just wanted to let you know that.
Thank you, Sister Rose. Appreciate that.
You're welcome. And one of the testimonies I wanted to talk about, I they're my testimony, so of course they're about me mostly, and my testimony starts out a few years ago, not too long ago. I can't remember the exact year. I spoke about different things in my life personally where God has been my strength. And one of the things, this thing is kind of hard for me to talk about because I, as a person, you know, through life, with challenges and things that we've gone through, sometimes I struggle with this, and I'm sure a lot of us others struggle with this too, but I'm talking about me, Marcella Roseberry. I'm the one I need, you know, God helps me with this, and this is one of my things that I have to fight, and the testimony is, a few years ago, I had some stomach issues. And I don't remember exactly, I can't tell you exactly what year it was, but I know it was a few years ago because I kind of tried to put it out of my mind. They couldn't figure out, the doctor couldn't figure out what was wrong with me. And they did all kinds of tests. They couldn't figure out what was wrong with me. Then they sent me to the specialist. And the specialist, he was a urologist. And so I went to this urologist. This is when I lived in Orange, California, and before I came to the city, to the church in Ontario, before we moved to Upland. And I went to the urologist, and this because of the doctor, he sent me to this specialist because they thought, okay, we checked everything out and you need to go to this kind of doctor. So I went to a urologist and he put me on this new medicine he wanted to try. It had just come out. And it had, because it was new, you know, it had side effects. And one of the side effects was, you know, you could lose your hair. And I was so desperate. I was like, I got to take some medicine. I got to do something because, you know, I didn't feel good. So, you know, I did not lose my hair, thank God, but it does not grow as long as it did. And that's kind of a bummer, but, you know, I thank God that I still have my hair. And so sure enough, they started me working. After a few weeks, the pills did, the medicine. And the doctor told me it may take a few years and I would have to keep taking them. But then I would have to stop because you can't take them long term. So he took me off after about 2 years. My symptoms didn't appear to come back. A few years after we were living here in Upland, I started getting those symptoms again, or so I thought I did. I told my husband that I need to go see the doctor about this issue again. He told me, okay. I went to a regular doctor. They did tests. They couldn't figure out what was wrong with me again. I did not want to wait. I was sure it was that inflammation I was dealing with a few years back. I needed an answer right away. I did not want to wait this time. I drove all the way to Orange where I saw that specialist years ago. He had moved his office. He had a new address, so I went there. They did some tests. And he got the test results. So he comes into the room. He has a notepad. He asked me questions about my symptoms, writing things down. Then he looks at me, really concerned, and he says, Miss Roseberry, you're telling me about all these symptoms you're having, but it does not sound like the symptoms you had in the past. I don't think you have that issue anymore. Of course, I left there kind of upset because I was sure that's what I had. It had to be because I wanted a diagnosis. I needed a cure. Before I left, he told me, go home, and when you get home, I will email you everything we talked about, and your test results will be there. And you can even print them out. So I went home. I went to the computer. I got the email. I printed it out, and I sat in the recliner by my window in my living room. There I was, skimming over my test results, and right at the bottom of that page, in black and white letters, the last word on that page was the word anxiety. Oh, that just made something inside me just get so upset. And I said to myself, No, I cannot have this. If I do it, it's got to go. I knew that anxiety was a spirit, and I did not want it. You see, church, that spirit of anxiety was in my family when I was a child, and it still is. And I have seen it, how it affected members of my family. My sister, who had brought me to church, back to church when I was 19. She suffers from schizophrenia. It started out with anxiety, and they left God, they left the church, and she got worse and worse. That's when it really got really bad. When she first got back in church, God had healed her from her depression. And it started out like that. And I know, and I told myself, I do not want to be like this. I see her, and she calls me once in a while. She lives in Texas, and she calls me once in a while. And she tells me, I still hear those voices. And it's hard for me to see her like that. But I have learned to deal with this. And I have to tell her sometimes to call on the name of Jesus. And she just calls me and hangs up just to hear my voice and tell her what to do. And she hangs up. So while I was looking at those test results, I stood up from the chair. I got the paper in my hand. And I ripped it up, and I stomped on it. I prayed, and I told God, please, God, if I have this horrible anxiety, please take it away. I don't want it. After a while, I started feeling better. It took a urologist to tell me that I had anxiety. The next day, I felt even better as the negative thoughts started to go away. I was so much better after that. My symptoms went away. I never really had the symptoms like that again. And church, I'm not going to tell you that that anxiety hasn't come back. In fact, there are times where it has come back in different ways, different symptoms, and sometimes I don't even know it, but I've learned throughout life to catch it before it really affects my mind. And this is what I wanted to talk about today, church, is guarding our hearts and our minds. We've got to guard our hearts and our minds. In Proverbs 4, 23 to 27, it talks about guarding our hearts and our minds. I don't have time to read the whole thing there, but if you guys have time, you can read through it. And you can see how God intends for us to live. It is intertwined. It intertwines the spiritual and makes life the beautiful thing God wants it to be. In these days of COVID-19, it has been so easy for some of us to not knowingly let ourselves get into this depression or anxiety. I remember one night during this COVID thing, everyone was sick in my house. My husband did not get diagnosed with the COVID, but he got really sick with sinuses, and I was so tired. I was tired of seeing my family so sick, and we were all separated. And when I went into the living room at night while everyone was in their rooms, I told God that I rebuked the virus out of my house and spirit. Whatever it is, it did not feel right. It's got to go. I remember not too long ago another incident where I was going through court stuff, and it was taking a toll on me. I actually told Pastor Clark one night at church that I thought I was going to go crazy. He just looked at me and said, "You are not. You are not going to go crazy." That's the simple word. He wasn't even mad at me. He didn't even feel sorry for me or baby me. After that, I thought to myself, wow, I wasn't expecting that. And then the thought came to me, wow, my pastor has the confidence in me that I can actually help myself out of this. Church, we are blessed with a good pastor. He's so patient and kind with us, and he has trust in us. In 1 Samuel 17:29, David told his brothers that he wants to fight Goliath, the giant. His brothers just laughed, and they accused him of pride. But David knew that there was more at stake than just a skirmish between an Israelite soldier and a heathen opponent. But David, with simple faith in God, made his offer to fight his challenges, the challenger who was reproaching his God. There was a cause as far as David was concerned, and he was willing to put everything, including his life, on the line for what he believed. And sometimes these thoughts and depression and anxiety can take over and become like a giant. But we have to fight. We have to fight the negative thoughts in our minds. I'm not going to say the negative thoughts don't come back, but I've learned when to put a stop to it before it affects me spiritually, mentally, and emotionally. We've got to help each other, like Brother Rao was saying on Wednesday. Just a simple text. When I got in a car accident and they totaled my car, I could see the look on my kids' faces. And I'm ashamed to say they have seen the signs of mom's anxiety before. Jesus has really blessed me with good kids. I'm not trying to brag because they are mine, but it's mostly through prayer and trial and error that they are the way they are. They have good hearts. I'm not a perfect mom, and they know that. But Jacob said, when I got into this accident, Mom, don't think about the car or anything. Just get some rest. The other two kids and my husband just come and hug me, gave me something to drink. It was so comforting. That's an example of helping each other. The last thing I want to say is, in the Old Testament, I've read somewhere, the word heart is used more than 800 times, but more than 200 times, it deals with one's thought life, those things that motivate and mold us. Why is the thought life so important? Because the thought life controls the rest of your life. Romans 12 and 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We've got to protect our mind. How do we protect our mind? By prayer, reading our word, our Bible, good thoughts. Stop the negative. We're living in the days, and we'll go through, in the last days, and we'll go through things. But if we keep our minds right, we will succeed. If the devil has our mind, then it's not good. God made you where you cannot think two things at one time. So think good thoughts. From your thought life and through your thought life, God wants to minister to you. When your mind is clear and right with God, when you have the mind of Christ, when you're being transformed by the word of God and the power of God and the spirit of God in your thought life, then you're going to be doing the will of God. Well, that is all I have, Brother Vic, and I hope through my testimony and my words that it helped encourage someone today.
Thank you, Sister Roseberry, I want you to know, stay on the line. We got someone special who wants to come on right now. But this was powerful. This was helpful in so many ways. You mentioned that you wanted to read a scripture in Proverbs to talk about guarding the hearts and the minds. Do you have that? Do you know what scripture that is?
Guarding the hearts and the minds. Was
it in Proverbs, you said?
Yes. Hold on. I wrote it down.
Okay, because there's one in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 that talks about guarding your minds, your hearts and your minds also. Is it
Proverbs?
Oh, okay, yeah, Proverbs. Go ahead. You know what it is?
Proverbs 4 and 23.
Can you read it, please?
I have it in another version, not the King James. It says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep your corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. That's what it talks about.
Oh, that's great, Sister Roseberry. And since you read that, I'm going to go ahead and read Philippians 4 and 7. It says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It all ties in with everything that you talked about today, Sister Roseberry. I want you to know, Sister Roseberry, this was so good. It was powerful. It's going to help many, many of our people, especially with all the things that are going on. But right now, I want to bring on someone special who wants to say something, and I'm sure you will recognize her voice.
Mm-hmm.
Sister Clark, are you on the line?
I am here. Good morning.
Okay. You're loud and clear. Go right ahead, Sister Clark.
Good morning, Sister Marcella, and good morning,
good
Church.
Morning.
That was excellent, Marcella. That was so good and so appropriate for this time. It was so good, and your transparency, your just opening up yourself and just being real, and it was so good. And this was good for all of us today because we're all facing anxiety during this time. That we're dealing with things that we just have never even dreamed we would deal with. But thank you so much for that. And you do have a wonderful family.
Yes.
You and your
thank
husband,
you
have an absolute prince of a husband. And you are a couple that the church looks to and have so much respect and admiration for. And you're such a blessing to our whole church. And I'll have to agree with you on your children. You have three wonderful children, and they all have the same spirit that their parents do, and that is they're servants at heart.
Yes.
And they're humble, they're submitted, and it's just so beautiful. We appreciate you and your family, and this was very good, Marcella, very good, and we love you.
Thank you.
Okay,
yes.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Sister Clark.
Brother Vic.
And I cannot add anything more to what Sister Clark said. It is the truth. Thank you, Sister Rosemary. Great, great message today. And God bless the Rosemary family for everything that you do and the spirit and attitude that all of you have. Well, church, with that said, we are looking forward to having everyone tonight on our evening devotion with Brother Jeff Baker. We look forward to having everyone on there at 7:15 p.m. Have a great day in Jesus' name. Amen.